Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, let me grab the headphones. I'll get dialed into the studio. Get these dogs to shut up. Oh, goodness. I better close the window or the neighbors are going to get mad. Hope the guests call in tonight. Wonder if anybody's going to call in. Well, let's do this thing.
It's Rated G Radio, and this is your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey, everybody, it's Rated G Radio, and we have got a really cool show tonight. So if you've ever had a question about essential oils or you've heard your cool kid friends talking about essential oils, this is the show for you. We're going to have expert John Odlum on the show tonight. He is an expert at many, many things, but he's going to be talking about essential oils, theta energy healing, taking your questions and calls if you have them, and finding out all about what's been going on in his exciting world in just a minute. So I want to tell everybody about a couple of things that we're doing here on the show real quick, and then we're going to bring John on the show. One of the things that I've been trying to figure out for the longest time is how to do a listener survey. And the reason it's important for me to do a listener survey is because the show is, number one, online, is broadcast worldwide, and we get such a diverse range of people and interests that are calling in and participating on the show on a nightly basis. I just kind of want to know how I can do a better job for you, the listener, and what would make you want to listen more, things I can do more of, things you want less of, that type of stuff. So I started by making our former guests guinea pigs in the nicest possible way I say that. But I put together a guest host or a guest or a guest caller survey that I did an email blast to anybody that I had an email on last night, and I'm getting really cool responses on that. So if you're a prior guest host or a prior guest to the show and have received an email, please take time to fill that out. I will never know who fills it out and sends it in. It's all anonymous, but it helps me as I try to structure what we're going to be doing in the future for things that will make your guest appearance a more enjoyable one. So that's number one for the guests. But for listeners, again, I want to make sure that as we are continuing to move forward and we get new listeners that are coming in every day and following the show, that we bring you programming that you want to listen to. I call it crave programming, stuff that you're like, I've got to tune in tonight and hear it because it's on the show. Whether you listen on demand or listen live doesn't really matter to me. It matters that you listen to the show. So if I can bring you more programming that you want to press that button on, that's always a cool thing. So get ready for that. Quick programming notes before we get to John real quick. Tomorrow night on Thursday, Matthew Anderson with Theta People. You can go check the website out. They did a web series this last year, 10 episodes. It's a Minnesota group that did this dry humor, hysterical online web series called Theta People. And it's, again, 10 episodes, about 8 to 10 minutes per episode, and it follows the genesis of a theater troupe in Minneapolis and how they are putting on a show. If you've ever been involved or interested in the arts or have wanted to do anything like that, this show is hysterical because it's really, really true. So go check them out. But Matthew Anderson will be on tomorrow night talking about Season 2 and trying to raise a little money for that. And then Friday we've got the Chrysagas brothers from Ohio. They'll be calling in for their third guest appearance on the show. They're going to be talking about their reality series, They Are Shopping Around. We're going to be playing songs from Conversations with God, their current Christian CD that is out right now. And we'll take your calls and questions, but that's going to be a very special Friday night dance party starting early at 6 p.m. East, 3 p.m. in the West. So adjust your clocks accordingly. And without further ado, again, big warm welcome to John Odlum to Rated G Radio for, I think, your second or third time as well. So welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. I love having you on the show. And every time we have you on, John, the feedback I get on text either during the show or after the show is like, boy, he was really a wealth of information. I'm like, I know. The man knows what he's talking about. What do you expect? We're going to just have a lumps of coal here. So anyway, I appreciate you calling in so late. You're back on the East Coast. It's 10 o'clock your time already.
Yeah.
And 10 o'clock
I'm
my
a night
time.
Owl, so it's all good.
Well, you are a night owl. So it's
I'm a night owl. Yeah, totally. So it's good.
I love it. I love your flexibility. Because whenever I'm having guests on the East Coast, if I have the opportunity to say, would you like to do it earlier? Because I know 10 o'clock's late. They all think I'm like crazy. It's like 10 o'clock, the night's just barely getting going. And for me, it's like
yeah, it's
an hour
totally
past my bedtime. So for everybody who is new to the show and didn't have a chance to hear about John and what he does before, John, can you kind of give us your bio real quickly again, and then we'll talk about, and then we're going to get to all the fun stuff, but I want to know about you for all the new people.
Yeah, well, I've been doing healing work for like over 15 years now, and I started as a licensed massage therapist, and I've actually delved into many different modalities of healing, and really at the heart of my practice is aromatherapy and working with plant and tree medicine through essential oils, and I weave those into all of what I do. And so what I studied in France, I learned distillation methods and worked with farmers there on learning distillation, and I studied with founder of Wisdom of the Earth out in Sedona, Arizona, and I've been teaching certification courses for almost 10 years now, and I just got done with a fantastic group actually just this last weekend in Connecticut, and I do true belief healing based off of Theta healing, and I work with essential oils, Reiki, to help people identify limiting belief patterns in their subconscious to help them not only identify, and in the identification of those patterns, they can then be empowered and then choose to release those patterns. And I found that the essential oils, when I work in person, are really beneficial in that work as well. So that's just it in a nutshell, but I've just been always working, and I share with people the things and the modalities that have helped me heal, because I did suffer from depression, anxiety, and panic attacks years ago. And so I found different methods that were starting with meditation, massage, and going into what I do now helped me tremendously heal, and I no longer suffer from any of that anymore. So it's been quite a journey.
So one of the things that, and I'm very comfortable in sharing this with the audience, one of the things that I really liked about John is that, number one, he took a non-believer, that was me, and turned me into a believer. This is a non-paid testimonial, folks, so I just want to kind of give you a little bit of background. I was having some issues on a professional level that were really not pleasing to me in a variety of different ways a few years back, and the person that I was having lunch with one day said, you know, you really need to talk to John. And I said, whatever. And I said, where is this John character? Well, he's in Connecticut. And I'm like, okay, you know, I can talk to a friend any place, you know, so why do I need to call and talk to somebody in Connecticut? And she goes, trust me, you just need to have a telephone call with John. So I sent John a little email and said, you know, it was about 85 pages long, and I think it was cross-referenced, and there's a video index and things like that. But I said, here's all the things that I'm really pissed off about in life. And so John, you know, was very professional and wonderful and reached out to me, and we had our first session. And I thought, well, this is just the biggest bunch of hocus pocus I've ever heard. What a complete waste of my time, energy, and money, and the whole thing. Well, it's not like, you know, you're going to see, like, fireworks in front of your face, you know, like you're going to see on the 4th of July. But I will tell you, energetically speaking, this doubting Thomas became a believer in about 72 hours when things in my professional journey took a surprising turn for the better for a period of time. But long story short, going through that process, we're going to talk about essential oils in just a second, but just to my endorsement for John here is the fact that he took somebody who was like, fine, if you don't believe it, that's fine. It's totally cool, but, you know, are you at least open to having a conversation? And if you are, then let's just see what we can do. And I said, fine, it can't be any worse. And, you know, he took that willingness on my part with that wonderful attitude and turned that frown upside down, and it was just incredible. So I will tell anybody who's listening, either live or in Technicolor, that if you do listen to John's information tonight and just said, you know, I've thought about it, it sounds crazy, I will tell you, take that leap of faith and press the button, make the phone call, schedule an appointment, whether you're here or far, Skype or in person, whatever the case may be, and do an appointment with John, because it will change your life, and it will do weird things to you that you will think, it's not possible. And it's not possible that somebody can impact my world from 3,000 miles away, but he does it. So, anyway. So that's my little John story. And I could go into it so many more things, but I will tell you, I'm a huge. I think I'm the West Coast, and I'm going to have to shove other people out of the way. But I'm the West Coast president of your fan club out here. So that goes without saying. So I wanted to bring you back on, and number one, to talk about the workshops that you've recently done. You just did one about a week ago. I want to hear number one what you teach during that. What people should expect to get out of it, what type of people mm-hmm. come to it, and what their experience is for that. And then we'll go from there. But that's kind of, I saw that and I thought, we really need to get you back on.
Yeah. I had had a great group of people. Every group's a little bit different, but what the course is, it's a certification course in medicinal aromatherapy, and it's a very unique course. There's a lot of books out there. There's a lot of information, and there's a lot of misinformation, and a lot of what I teach is the myths of aromatherapy, and I think what's interesting is a lot of people don't know the depth that it can go. It's a very popular field now. Corporations use scent. Everybody uses scent because it's their most powerful scent. Sense is their sense of smell, and it can really elicit emotional responses, memory. Scientifically, it's been shown to, when you inhale essential oils, they go right to the limbic system of the brain that can trigger memory, and they can trigger deep emotional memory and much more. So what I teach is really from a perspective of both shamanic, which means communication with plants and trees, which is actually now in the scientific community, not as crazy as it used to be, which is good. So it's kind of becoming clear that plants do have intelligence. There's a lot of information. You can YouTube, Google it. But they do have intelligence. It's just where people, I think, got sidetracked was it's how they communicate with you. And it's not in your typical, we are now talking vocal cords, obviously. But when you go to a specific place in nature, for instance, and you feel a sense of awe, you feel this reverence, there's something happening there. And it's not like someone's talking to you and saying specific words. You just have a sense. You have a sense of place and peace. And so there's an interaction going on. If you bring it back to a simple interaction between plants and people, is we wouldn't be here without them because of the oxygen they provide. So there's an intimate connection, whether you're conscious of it or not. Every day you walk outside and breathe. They breathe you in, you breathe them in. It's that simple. And what the essential oils provide is a most intimate connection with them, because the essential oils are literally their lifeblood. It's what goes through every part of the plant, whether it's the bark, the root, the flowers, the petals. It's kind of, the best analogy is it's like their blood. So, and it carries all the medicine that is provided inside the plant that they use for themselves. They send out in through their roots, the ecosystem. So all of that is housed in within the essential oils. You might hear me say essential essences. It is one and the same. The one reason I say essences a lot is because oil is a little bit of a misnomer, which I'll get to a little bit later. But so the course that I teach is really about that deep connection to the plants. I once worked with a shaman, and I watched him heal people. He had hundreds of herbs and essential oils, and he would talk to the people and go up to this wall of oils and herbs and pick out specific ones, and they would heal almost every single time. And so I asked him finally, I go, how do you know which one to choose? And he looked at me like I had three heads, and he says, well, I asked the plant, duh. And I was like, well, from where I come from, that's nuts. So could you explain it to me? And he said, oh, okay, because he's just been living in that realm for so long. And so when he broke it down to me, that's basically the way we teach it. It's breaking plant communication down in a way that's very simple to understand. It's not so out there as everyone may seem, as it seems. So what it came down to was using your senses. And so when you put an intention out there, and we do this in the belief work, you set intention. The reason it worked for you, Garrett, was you and I set an intention. And the first day, you know, however reluctantly, you said yes. You said, and so we were connected energetically. And intention is everything. And when you give permission to connect, that's all that's needed. And then at that point, that's where most people just don't pay attention. So, in other words, he was setting an intention. He got all the information he needed from his client, the shaman, and he went up to the plants, the essential oils, the herbs, and he actually asked which ones would help. And what he did at that point, and this is the part that takes practice and teaching, but it's as natural as breathing. I mean, everybody has the ability. It's nothing that is that extraordinary, really. It's just you have to remember how. And so he would then just listen through his intuition, meaning what thoughts go through his head after he sets that intention. So once he sets the energy, the intention is like a laser beam and it focuses. And what he receives after he sets that intention, he trusts. That's the other key, learning to trust your intuition. So throughout this process of learning to listen to the plants through your senses, that's your thoughts, emotions, just your sense of knowing, it's about not overthinking it. And so the more you do that, the more you see really amazing things happen, synchronicities, healing, and actually you start to trust that more. And so the course is, yes, you learn about the basics, how to use them. You learn practical information. You do a lot of practical in this weekend course, but you learn first and foremost to trust. Once you ask, trust what comes through. Because what most people I find happens is that they put a lot out there. They're throwing things out there, but they're not waiting and breathing and taking the space to receive an answer. The answers always come in. You have to learn how to receive them. And so I watch students who sometimes are closed, and actually I had a couple students this last weekend. They walked in and I started talking about this, and they looked at me and they're like, oh, crap, like, where am I? What are these freaks? Like, what's going on? And it turned, and they were very linear, and I had a lot of LMTs because I give continuing education credits. So some of them were very by the book, very, like, straight-laced, and it was very interesting to see them shift. When they were picking oils for people the first time, they were nervous. And then when they realized what they picked, they realized how profound it was because these essences work not only like if the client is working on a physical issue, but the emotional component, the energetic or spiritual component, their beliefs that are affecting this healing. So it was really amazing to watch them, the light go on. And that's why I teach this. It's like to see people's light turn on, because once they start to realize, like, oh, it's really not that complicated. I just have to ask and trust my gut, trust my senses. Then they're empowered. Then they start to not give their power away as much outside themselves. And I've seen so many people change, like, dramatically, like, where they really start to listen and they go deeper and deeper and deeper and their lives start to change. And so it's through this work with the plants and trees that I really got into this belief work, because I was seeing people not get better. I was seeing people just continue to do the same things over and over again. And I was like, well, I was meditating with some of the essences, and I literally was getting this information about how this could work. Because really what the plants do, and you can look at this in nature, is they open themselves up to their surroundings. They are not afraid, like you never see a flower that's afraid to open to the sun or to the moon.
It always opens.
Yeah, they always open. They don't hesitate. And so we can't say the same. You know, when we're trying to live our purpose, sometimes we get in our way. you know, we get anxious, we get scared, we have all these things. We're running to the future and we stop being present. We're worried about things that happened in the past and that stops us from opening. So the plant and tree medicine on an emotional and spiritual level help just by taking in that vibration from literally their blood into our bloodstream. It starts to change your consciousness. It changes your lens enough so that you can start to open up more. So a lot of times they'll bring stuff up. So people will have emotional things come up. It's natural. Like the plants are literally saying, oh, well, that's in the way. You know, when you smell them, certain memories will come up. If they have anger issues, for instance, they might smell jasmine, and jasmine smells beautiful, but then all of a sudden they start feeling a little pissy, and they're like, what's happening? Well, jasmine's trying to show you how to open, and that anger that you've been tucking away in the corner, she's spotted it for you, and she's bringing it up to your face to look at. And then you can either then choose to look at it and move through it and open further, or you can choose to walk away. The plants don't do the job for you. They help you to see it, see what needs to be done. And so at that point forward, it can be quite miraculous. You know, there's things that can happen miraculously on a physical level. I've seen things like burns disappear with lavender within like the scope of 30 minutes or less. You know,
really?
Two people having complete life-changing, like, altering, you know, experiences where they, you know, they leave a relationship that's toxic, they leave abusive patterns behind, they, you know, because the plants just simply want you to flourish. That's all they do. They know how to thrive. And so when you partake in that, they actually start to remind you how to thrive. And that's really it, you know, and there's so much to them. I mean, I work with over 250 plus essences. And,
wow.
You know, some of them I know better than others, but they surprise me, you know. And a little bit just about what essential oils are, because of what I see a lot of is when they're in the bottle, people tend to think perfume. They tend to think, oh, it's nice, I'll put a little dab on and smell nice or feel a little more relaxed. But really, with what I just said, you can tell that it's much more. So how they work to get into that form, think of basically any farmer out there. And mind you, quality matters. You know, if you have something that's adulterated, it doesn't have the same effect, because adulteration means you're actually tampering with that full-fledged expression of the plant. So a lot of times due to profit margin or, you know, people want the supply and demand is out there for scents. So they usually will adulterate to save money, to make money, et cetera, and they're not in that intention of honoring the plant. So that's a really important point. A lot of things are done out there to adulterate, and the essences I use from Wisdom of the Earth are pure, unadulterated, single notes. We don't use blends, and I'll explain, because basically Barry, who's the owner of the company, he used to be a farmer, so he knows what to look for, and he actually goes all over the world and handpicks them, and he finds farmers that actually honor the plants. A lot of them are indigenous, so they're very close to the plants to begin with and have that connection, or they're family farmers from generations. So whether they're labeled organic or not, they practice pure and natural, which means no chemicals, no pesticides. They don't do anything to the plant, and they don't add or subtract during the distillation process. So what they're doing is staying out of the way as much as possible to allow the plant, the energy and vibration of the plant, to stay intact. And what they do is that, and I took part because I was not a farmer. So I was like, well, there's a little bit of a disconnect, so I need to learn what this is about. And I went out to France, and it was life-changing. It was a huge experience. It was about 8 years ago. And I went out and took part in a harvest of wild lavender on top of a mountain overlooking the Mediterranean. It was unbelievable. Highland lavender that just grows wild there. And so I had my scythe, I had my little satchel, and we're cutting. And I had a student bring a really important point that she was afraid of cutting plants and hurting them, and she was very sensitive in that way. But I got to tell you, from first-hand experience, again, setting the intention when you're harvesting, it's almost as if the plants are happy that you're doing it. They're literally, like, ready and willing. And so there's ways of doing it to not harm the plant. Again, it's about communication and intention. If your intention is to harvest the plant with care, it's an amazing experience. And I remember just feeling so blissful. And then we brought the flowering tops of the lavender a couple hours to the farmer's still. And it was a big still. You put it into the still. And the only thing there is, you know, you put in the plants and there's water. The water is actually raised the temperature to a steam level. Every plant, it's different. And in order to do it properly, you have to know the plants. It's a lifestyle. It's basically a farming lifestyle to do it properly and to have a high yield. So what they do is they bring it up to a boil, and the water interacts with the plants. The plants in this process then surrender. They open up, and the essence within the plant is then surrendered up into the steam, and it goes into a different condensation coil, meaning there's a cooler water coming in, and when it starts to cool, the essential oil separates from the water because it doesn't blend with water, and it's a different weight, and they just don't bind together. So then the essence will then come out a different spigot, the water will go out another, and you have the essential oil, and it's born into this form. Now, the process is important because the lavender, for instance, was not tampered with. It was just lovingly harvested and brought and distilled. And the reason that's important is because if it's tampered with, you're not getting the full medicine of the plant. It's pretty simple. And the consciousness of the plant, like I was talking to you about, they are known even scientifically to be conscious. They are. They actually have been shown under microscopes to shift their chemical structure depending on who is around them. That's quite simply consciousness. You know, so if they're around someone who's angry, they change their structure. They're around someone else, they change their structure. They're adaptogenic. That's amazing. And so once they are distilled, the farmer then ships them out to Barry in Arizona, and he waits. Again, another important point. You know, imagine yourself if you were around during the Wonder Twin Powers Super Friends days, like when they would shapeshift into like an eagle or, you know, a pail of water or whatever. Like, they maintained their identity even though they shifted into that form. So it's kind of similar. They maintain their identity, but they're just in this liquid form. And it's a very concentrated medicine. There's tens of thousands of chemotypes in one drop. Chemotypes meaning a natural chemical compound and that comprises and makes up the personality of that plant. So there's, you know, about 3,000 identified. On a subatomic level, there's up to 50 or 60,000. So it's very concentrated. They're powerful. And all of science knows that they are very powerful and concentrated. So you have this concentrated medicine, and it's just gone through this whole process. You have to wait until the plant is ready to be poured. And Barry hand pours in ceremony every single one of these.
Wow.
It maintains that relationship. Yeah, it's nuts. It's him and two other people that do this. And it's literally, there's no anger allowed in that place. Anyone starts to argue, he's like, you're out of the office. Like, you can't be in that. And
right.
I've been on the phone with him where literally, you know, and again, this comes from practice of tuning in to listening to the plants. Like, they'll be like, oh, vetiver's ready to be poured. I'll be like, how do you know? He's like, oh, it's calling, I gotta go. I'm like, okay. You know, that's like, and he waits, and all the plants have an excitation phase. It's the travel, it's the distillation. So once they're ready, it's like a fine wine. They got to get into their new legs here. And once they're poured, they're ready to be distributed. and the vibration is high. And you can actually, what I teach students, I'm like, smell as many different kinds as you can, you know. And I always look. I'm looking around. The more people that are doing it like this, the better as far as I'm concerned. But I haven't found anybody that's quite like this. There's many multi-level companies out there. There's all this stuff out there, but they're not. There's something about these that are, for me, really, it's like they come out of the bottle and they really actually are alive. And a lot of people, even people that aren't really into this, notice a difference just through their nose, which is the most important barometer, actually, your nose. Most people don't trust it. And the one side note of this is when people smell true plant medicinal essences, they actually, their sense memory is triggered. I worked with a gentleman, an older gentleman, who worked with wood varnishes for years, like 35 years, and I had him smell a pine. The first thing it reminded him of was his most favorite wood varnish, Mineral Springs. He was like, oh, Mineral Springs. And I was like, well, it's actually Pine Maritime, but it's interesting because this happens many times, people smell chemicals first because we're so used to chemical smells. That's our sense memory. So you can see where I'm going, because if that's your sense memory, then you're not really smelling certain things. It's limited to what your sense memory is. But this actually repairs over time that sense memory. And sure enough, a few weeks later, he finally smelled the pine for what it was. It was such a strong sense memory, but over time, it switched, and he finally smelled the plant itself. But it took a little while. And I have other people who it brings up emotions immediately. There was a girl that was doing a true belief session with me, and she smelled one. It was actually rue, but you've probably heard of feverfew and rue. Well, rue is a powerful plant, and actually she smelled it and she wanted to throw up. And I was like, well, please don't throw up on me. but after that, she was like, I don't really want to put this one on. I'm like, well, you don't have to. You know, I'm not going to force feed it to you. But when you get a triggering response like that, I always tell people to take note. You know, and I've told you this, Garrett, in True Belief, like, if someone triggers you, whether it's good or bad, it's your trigger. It's something inside of you that's being triggered, so that's something for you to look at. The plants are just trying to help you identify things. So she had this, like, guttural reaction. It was nauseating. And I said, okay. And I said, let's go into the nausea. What does it mean to you? And so some things came up and some beliefs. We cleared them. And without telling her what it was, I handed her rue again. And I said, smell this one. And she smelled it, and she had it up to her nose, and she was sniffing it deeply. And she was like, what's this? This was 3 minutes later. And I said, well, look at the bottle. And she almost fell off the chair. She's like, this can't be. And she smelled it. And she was like, this is completely different. And because what that plant medicine did for her was it brought up a trigger. It brought up a trigger so much that she couldn't even smell it because it was reminding her of something that was painful. When the pain and the beliefs were cleared, the plant, she just smelled the plant for what it was. Its job was done. It had nothing, it had no more trigger for her. That was within a 3 to 5 minute range, a shift. I've seen it happen even quicker. But they will shift, they will adapt to wherever you're at. If you give them permission to work with you, and that's important, you know, you always ask permission and you give permission, that stuff happens. I mean, I've seen people who weren't able to get to memories of abuse, literally mugwort, another one, huge energy mover. They use moxa and acupressure, the little cones that they burn to move the energy to the meridians. It's the same plant and in essence form. And this woman was very skeptical. She came in to see me. She's like, she sees crystals in my office. She's looking around. She's like, what the hell did I get myself into?
Uh-huh.
You know, I met her at the gym and she had a relationship. She was attracting bad guys, you know, and I'm like, well, come on in, check it out. And she looked around. I could almost hear her thoughts. She was like, oh, God, freak show. I don't know what's going on. But she sat down, and we started talking about stuff, and I had her pick a couple essences that she was drawn to through her senses, like I was talking about, and she just went to the ones she was drawn to. She picked mugwort, and she smelled it, and she made this awful face. And I said, well, what was that face? What were you thinking about? And she goes, my father. And I was like, oh, okay. What was your intention? She goes, to find out why I'm attracting the wrong men. And then I just let her hear herself, and I sat there in silence, and she went, oh, crap. And I was like, well, we can go there, or we don't have to. It's up to you. She's like, let's go. And within, like, 15 minutes, we were to the I'm ugly, like, the abusive, emotionally abusive belief patterns, and clear them, and, like, mugwort illuminates things. That's one of the plant's gifts. So that's how they worked in that situation. It's a very fast illuminator and energy mover. And so she was blown away. She was like, I would have never thought I was going there. And she said, in 5 years of therapy, I've never been able to go there. And I don't, it just went. And so for me, they make my job easier. They're extremely intelligent. They are very connected. And it's, I offer meditation classes a lot too, with sound healing as well and essences. And I'll ask which essences want to come to the class, and I'll just pick them. I know now to trust them 100%. And it's funny because when I stand in front of someone, as I just let information come through me, and I kind of channel it, and I speak it. And people will come up to me, they're like, how did you know to say those words? And I'll be like, well, I didn't. And they'll look at me perplexed, and I'm like, that was the plan. I honestly set the intention to just let them come through. And I... because usually something, it's very personal to them, or something, the way I said something reminded them of something. And to me, that's fascinating because it shows me more about the plant's versatility and what their healing is. Because I just literally step back and let them do the work. I am literally just allowing myself to be kind of like a messenger. And it works. And usually I'll wonder why a particular essence is coming along for the class, and then bam, it will hit someone that I've never met. It's as if they know who's going to be there, and they know when, you know, to, you know, be put on someone at the right time. It's really amazing. And I've seen it so many times over the last, you know, almost 14 years that I stopped questioning it, but we all have that questioning. And I think it's a normal human thing. You know, the skepticism. And it's healthy to a degree, but it also gets to a point where it's like they've seen too much to think otherwise.
Yeah.
And it happened again this weekend. So many things happened for people that they were just kind of, they were blown away. You know, I've gotten many texts and emails and calls. They're like, I just can't believe what happened. And I'm like, yeah, I know. They just... If you think of, like, if we were all unedited, you know, in a good way, just in a grounded way, not in a crazy way, but in a grounded way, rooted in, and we could just be ourselves, that's the way they are, and that's what they promote. So that's the class in a nutshell. It literally can be life-changing because for 3 full days, you're literally immersing in their world, and you're setting an intention to listen to what they have to say, to listen to their wisdom, and it can change. You know, you could be seeing life in one way. We all have our lenses on a certain way. We can only see what we allow. That's literally the truth.
Yeah.
So what the plants do is they expand that vision and lens to where you're like, oh, there's a lot more going on here, inside and out. So it really does change people's lives, and I've seen it so many times now.
Well, can I ask a couple of questions here? And if we've talked about this before, I forget. So this is not like planned, scripted out stuff. So I apologize for any listener who thinks that John and I had this worked out ahead of time. We did not. So this is just off the cuff here.
No.
So for essential oils, and I'm coming at this from a I now am excited about all things that you talk about, because all things that you talk about magically make this world a better place. So I love essential oils. I love the concept of essential oils, all of that. How, and you said there's like 200 and some odd oils that are out there. If somebody is out there, 250. So if somebody out there is listening in Redmond, Oregon, or Poughkeepsie, New York, or Tucson, Arizona, or wherever they're listening tonight from,
Mm-hmm.
And they have no clue about what they should do. What would be a mm-hmm. good starting point for somebody to try to do some investigating on essential oils and where they should go to get
mm-hmm.
them?
Well, I can give you some titles of authors that are good to read. There's some good reading material out there. They can also contact me. I mean, if they have questions, they can email or contact me. There's wisdomoftheearth.com is a website, and that has really describes the company that I work with the essential oils, but also trueelements.com. There's stuff there. But for more information on aromatherapy, if they don't contact me directly, it's very simple. There's a wonderful array of books by Kurt Schnaubelt. That's one book, and he has a lot of books, and he did a lot of the work on the adaptogenic qualities of the essential oils. There's also a book, Valerie Wormwood. She's pretty well known. She's a British aromatherapist. She's up there in years now. I think she's still alive, but she has a book called The Fragrant Heavens, which I would recommend. That's amazing. There's also on plant communication, Stephen Herod Buhner. That's another series of books that I would highly recommend. He's a brilliant writer. So there's some there. What I would start recommending is, you know, the typical essential oils at your health food store are unfortunately not medicinal grade. They're often adulterated, and so it's hard to, you know, really wrap my mind around ingesting any of those. These, the ones I use, I cook with, I ingest. You can put in any orifice, literally. I mean, I've had people with cancer, cervical, rectal, colorectal, all that. These are safe to use anywhere because there's nothing tampered with. And your body recognizes things of nature. We know this with the whole organic thing. You don't want to eat lots of pesticide sprayed celery, for instance. I mean, it's just common sense. Your body doesn't know how to break it down. So your liver gets overtaxed, your bladder, your kidney, et cetera. So this is the same kind of format. And the chemistry of the plants is very conducive with the chemistry of our body and equally intelligent. And so, for instance, like an antibiotic, you take it, and it's kind of like the bowl in the china shop. You know, it has a one purpose. It's like kill that virus. And it doesn't have any regard for the rest of your body. This is shown time and time again in the toxic side effects. What the essences do is once they go into your bloodstream, you can put them on your skin, and literally they're lipophilic, meaning the fat in your epidermis sucks them in and puts them right into your bloodstream. Now, there are studies done in your organs actually have scent receptors, which is extraordinary, but they actually will sniff it out and draw it to it. So if you put on an essence and it needs to go to your liver, your body knows what to do with it. The communication between the plant and your body, once it's in your bloodstream, you're set because your body knows what to do with it. And you don't have the same side effects. So it literally would go into your system and go where it needs to go. If you need like treatment on your stomach and you happen to put essences on your hands, it's going to where it needs to go. As far as what they can do, I would be very wary about what you put on your skin. Just mm-hmm. for instance, if you pick up a bottle of oil at the store, call up the manufacturer. If you can't talk to the owner, that's one red flag. Because this is just like you're putting something on your skin. It's going into your bloodstream. You want to make sure it's pure. So call, find out, do they have a relationship with their farmers? Do they know how their farmers harvest, distill, guaranteed, like, or acacia, sorry, but it's true, like, or places like that, they don't have this information, nor do they, you probably couldn't even get that far. So you want to deal with those simple questions, like how are they farmed, how are they distilled, what are they hand-poured, you know, what is the deal here, you know, because if you're going to invest and investigate in putting these things into your system, you want to make sure it's not going to cause any adverse effects and that you're actually getting the real plants. You know, there are you know, Wisdom of the Ooze is one of the best. There are others that are comparable. You just have to feel it out for yourself in that way. But by all means, like, you can contact either Wisdom of the Earth or me at True Elements, and I would be happy to kind of guide them in the right direction, because you can get these shipped anywhere. So it's not a problem. I ship to people all over the country, and actually they go all over the world. They have teachers in Japan now, so which is really cool.
One of the things that I want you to you've touched on it, but I want you to like really hammer it home, is that when you see something, and I'm going to pick on the pick-on, so I'm sorry if Groupon is listening, but if you see something that comes through on your Groupon, it's like, you know, get a set of 8 essential oils for $20, and you know, and it sounds like a really good deal, and it's like, why would I want to spend $80 on a bottle of one bottle, let alone, you know, getting 8? Why would I want to spend $80 on one bottle with John when I can get 8 bottles for $20 on Groupon? You know,
well,
so
that,
you know,
that's
you've talked a little bit about, you know, the quality of
it's a Groupon mentality, which is fine. However, discounting can sometimes be about discounting something. Like, if you have a bottle of like frankincense, for instance, that's a huge bottle for $15, you're not getting frankincense. So if you don't care about that, then go for it. Buy the $15 bottle. But if you are actually concerned enough to actually care about wanting to work with frankincense, frankincense is a huge healer. Like, if you want the effects of frankincense, you will try and find frankincense. And so you spend the money to actually get the effects that you're looking for. If you don't care, then you're going to go and you're going to get that. But that's up to the person, you know. If you don't care about your health, you'll go to McDonald's instead of having a nice meal, you know. And you'll spend more, but you're going to be healthy, you know.
And I think the real thing that I wanted to you know, ask about, and you just really brilliantly answered, is that if you're going to spend, you know, let's say the $8 for, or $20 for 8 bottles of whatever, you know, so you're spending $2 or $3 or $4 or $5 for a bottle of whatever, and these bottles are not big, so they're tiny little bottles, but, you know, you'll see, you know, it will say on the label, mixed with this, or filtered with that, or what, you know, it's in there with the New Jersey sewer water, or, you know, they won't say that, you know, that, you know, it tells you it's not pure. So if they're looking for, like, something, what would be the, you know, the big telltale? It's like, do you look for something that says 100% pure, or how does it read on a bottle or the label?
Say 100% pure. Here's the game about 100% natural. It's actually such a gimmick, because you can say 100% natural and you can have 1 ounce, one fraction of 100% natural lavender in it, and you can call it 100% natural, and the rest of
really?
It will be adulterated.
Okay, yep. So what do we
think
look
about
for
it.
Then?
100% natural means, oh yeah, it's actually 100% natural. Yeah, 1% of it is 100% natural. That's that's literally, it's a joke. So you have to go further than that. You know, we're even having trouble with GMO labeling and all these things just to know what's in our food. It's you have to actually go deeper and find out the source of where you're getting it from. And if you can't, like, again, it goes back to, if you don't care about that and you're just looking for the deal, you're going to get what you pay for, period. It's as simple as that. But if you actually want to work with this, and if this message actually touches you, like, oh, wow, that actually sounds amazing, you know, you actually find that it's kind of like fair trade, like frankincense. I'll go back to that. Frankincense is very laborious. It is hard to extract because it's the resin from a particular tree, and it's, you know, it's not easy work. It takes a lot of workers to do that. So if you're getting a $15 bottle of frankincense, first of all, it's not real. Second of all, there is someone's not getting paid. You know, there's a whole system here. And it actually, you know, it's like typical commerce. Like, and if you actually, sometimes quality, in any aromatherapy oils, like, if you see a bottle of frankincense, it's usually around $50 for a 15 mil. That's typical. And that's if it's pure, truly pure medicinal grade. If it's anything less than that, you want to find out why. Like, literally ask them. If they can't answer those questions about where it comes from, how it's farmed, I mean, there's so many myths out there and so many adulterations happening that if you have any more questions about it, I am more than happy to, like, you know, field those questions for any of these people to at least direct them in the right way. Because I will tell you, store-bought, commercially speaking, it doesn't, it's not, they won't buy pure grade because it's not viable for them commercially. They can't mark it up enough. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it comes down to. So usually there's private companies that have them and distribute them. Some of them multi-level. I personally don't vibe with that, but that's one way. You have to kind of feel out what resonates with you there. But the best predictor is to know where they're coming from, the owner, the farmers, the purity. You know, if you can't get those answers, then I wouldn't bother with it. You know, it's not worth that because you're getting synthetic chemicals, you're getting, you know, not the plant. And it happens a lot, especially with the most popular plants, lavender. I have a lot of clients who, this is a great example, they used different essences of lavender and they said they're allergic to it. So I said, really? Well, let's try something. And so I had them smell every single lavender, put it on, and they didn't sniffle, sneeze. They had no problem. They're not allergic to true lavender. They're allergic to the chemicals that are called lavender. Think about that. That has happened so many times. There's so many common plants where people are like, I'm allergic. And I'm like, I don't know
really?
About that.
Yeah.
You know? And 99% of the people are not allergic to that. And there are pollen allergies. Now, one thing I've also seen is people with pollen allergies, pine, you know, back east, there's some out west, but it's a huge one because it's very fine and can get into the lungs, and there's others as well. But when they use that same plant in the essential oil form, because it has no pollen, it's a liquid, so it doesn't have the pollen that causes the allergies, they actually build up immunity to getting allergic to the pollen because you're working with that plant and you're working with that plant on an intimate level and it actually doesn't bother them anymore. So I've seen that happen many times with people who are allergic to certain plants. They're working with the essential oils. The essential oils actually boost your immune system across the board. So that was very interesting to see. And so a lot of people with allergies to certain scents, you know, it's usually you're allergic to the chemicals, and find out where they're coming from if that's the case, because it's often the case. And it's fascinating to see that.
Okay, so my next question will be, so let's say I've narrowed down my choice of essential oils and I've picked like two or three that just really resonate with me for whatever reason, okay? So it could be
mm-hmm.
anything. So I spend the money on a really nice bottle of whatever, so we'll call it X. So I buy X, and I got my Y, and I got my Z. What do I do with it? Do I sniff it, as so many people tell me? Do I put it on my skin?
Yep.
Do I eat it?
Now, this is a good question, because there's actually, you can do any of the above. But depending on what you're getting it for, you can explore. You smell it, of course. There's many different application methods. I teach using one single note at a time, and you layer them neat on the skin. A lot of people are going to be like, oh, that's not supposed to happen. And that's because most of the things that are out there are not pure, and it's not true. When you actually blend them with oil, for instance, like a nut oil of some kind, it diminishes the chemistry. It literally starts to change the chemistry of the essence, and it kind of dampens the full medicinal potential of it. So when you put it neat on your skin, you just put them on your skin and they go into your bloodstream. It's simple. There are certain essences that are hot to the skin. There are certain essences that are skin sensitive or photosensitive, meaning makes you more sensitive to the sun. That, you know, you have to work. I would say consult with a medicinal therapist on that. But it's very simple. You can put them on the bottoms of your feet if you're not sure. The bottoms of your feet, get yourself a reflexology chart. There's every single body part, there is a map on the bottom of the feet that actually corresponds to it. And you can actually set intention and it will focus to that area, but it will also go through your feet into the bottom into the bloodstream as well. And the bottoms of your feet are tough, and they can take any essence, actually. So you can put it on your skin, and you literally just layer them. And once they're in your system, like if you're going to put them on before you shower, wait about 15 minutes. It takes about 10 minutes for them to fully absorb into your skin, and then hop in the shower, and the water actually pushes it into your skin even more. So
really?
One other thing, if you put them on, let's say you rub your eye and it's like, ow, that hurts. You know, if they're pure, it's not going to cause any permanent damage, but you want to have a bottle of nut oil, olive oil nearby, so you can just rub it on and it actually stops it and dilutes it. You don't want to splash water on your face because, again, it doesn't mix with water. The water will act as a propulsion. It'll push it in further.
Okay. Okay. So, and then
there's
what
so
is,
much. I mean, there's so much to learn. So it's
okay. Well, and we've only got five minutes left tonight, so we're not going to get to even the second half of the questions that I have.
Yeah.
So now, John, I'm going to say I need you to come back next month. Not to leave this alone. So I want to ask. Okay, because I just feel silly because I've got a couple of bottles that through a different company that my neighbor represents, and I thought, okay, this is good. So you got to, and I love the smell of the two or three things that I have here. And so I'm rolling my eyes telling you this. I can't even believe I'm telling you this. So I've opened it up. I put some drops in like a diffuser, so I've done that so I can have it diffused and smell, and that's all nice. But when I put it on my skin, I'll be like,
that's great.
Well, no, I love that. So it's like I shouldn't be, you know, putting like 400 drops in because that gets kind of spendy quick. But for skin use, it's like, oh, I'll put like a dab on my wrist, like I'm putting on, you know, Chanel number 5, and then I'll put on maybe a dab or, you know, a dab underneath my chin, and you know, and it's like, now I'm hearing, oh, it doesn't really matter because you're, you know, if you put it on your feet or your skin and you layer it, it's all going to go to the same place where it needs to.
Yes, exactly, and you know, it's just about educating people. It's not like, oh, that's silly or that. It's literally like, if you don't know, like, how are you going to know, you know? So basically, diffusers are great because they can clear the air and cleanse the air, especially like back east of the winter when everything's kind of closed up. It's great antiviral properties like lemon, a lot of the citruses and pines, et cetera. But putting it on your skin is fine, yeah. And, you know, it's different when you're treating something specifically medicinally. You know, you use a few more drops, and the common thing is just place it on the area of concern. If you have a stomach ache, place it on your stomach. If you have a headache, place it on your head with care, you know. And always, if you're afraid and not aware or sure of the skin sensitivity or your skin sensitivity, you do a small test patch, and you see how it feels. You know, because things like lemongrass, they can be sensitive to people's skin. Things like peppermint might be a little too icy hot for some people, but you just test it and see. And just an easy one to remember is the areas that you would normally be aware and stop before you apply are areas that you would normally not greet people. So you're not going to grab people by the neck on either side, hopefully. You're not going to grab people in the groin. You're not going to grab people in the ass. You're not going to grab people under the arms. Those are the areas that tend to be more sensitive, and you just want to be aware, you know, before you slather them on. And if there's any questions, I mean, that's, you know.
That too. And then the last question, and then we're going to make sure people go to John's website and also like John's Facebook fan page. It's the True Elements page. You can go and like that and find out about classes that John is conducting year-round, along with other lots of helpful things that are going on. Also on the show page tonight, you can call John, and his phone number is 860-922-6846. I said it really fast, but it's there, so when you're actually on the computer looking at it, you don't even have to write it down. It's right there for you. But if you want to go look at John's website, you can click the link or click the link for John's Facebook fan page for his business, True Elements. So my last question of the night, then I'm going to let you go. What, and you touched on this at the very beginning, but I just want to kind of reinforce it, not only for myself, but for the listeners. So instead of putting it on the skin, what is gained from just opening up the bottle and then going and taking a nice big sniff of something?
Yeah.
Is that silly or is that helpful?
It starts it all rolling. It actually can, again, access the limbic system in the brain, meaning the places where there's deep memory stored and emotions. So people often smell one, they're like, oh, it's taking me back to my grandma's house, or it gets the ball rolling, and it's that initial connection to the plant too. So oftentimes people will see like a landscape, or you know, people will feel a kind of like a familiar sense when they're smelling it. And so it gets you engaged and it gets you out of your head. When you inhale and breathe in the whole thing of roses, you're not thinking about yesterday, today, or tomorrow. You're right.
Right
there in the moment. So it brings you present. So that's really a big thing about breathing them in. It's a huge thing.
Okay, so it's good, but is it better to then actually have the application on the skin or to do something
it's not better than or worse than. If you're trying to treat something, yes, you want it in your bloodstream. But you know, inhaling is actually part of the joy of it. It actually feels good. It actually helps you, especially if you're dealing with emotional issues. Definitely inhale it. I mean, I've had people that are having panic attacks, they have a bottle under their nose and it helps them come back. So breathing them in is a huge part of the experience because it actually helps you on the mental, emotional level just to really get into your senses and through your sense of smell. So when I'm working with people real quick, I'll have them inhale and I'll have them literally set an intention asking a question of the plant. What are you here for? To work with me on. And then I have them listen as they're inhaling and they get all this information. They're very surprised about how much comes in. It helps to access information that's deeper lodged inside. So it can be very useful.
I think this is fascinating. You and I need to talk after, like, in the next few days, because I've got more questions. Okay. I will also tell you that Anita in Oregon has bookmarked your website and the books that you've talked about. She's going to be in touch with you because she says where she lives, it's been locating her favorite essential oils has been a challenge lately. So Anita will be contacting you.
Okay.
So
definitely.
That will be cool.
I'll definitely like to talk to you, Anita.
Yeah, and she's awesome. She's one of my favorite people anyway. I only whisper that because I've got a lot of favorites, but she's like actually in the top one of my favorite people. So, everybody, this has been John Odlum. He is the owner of True Elements. He lives in Connecticut but can help you worldwide. If you've enjoyed hearing more about essential oils or you're new to it, contact him for more information. Buy a bottle or 12. Talk to him about some of the other things that he is able to help you with. I tell you, it will change your life, and you will love everything that he does, and he's a good guy. John, any last closing thoughts before we round out the show tonight?
I just wanted to say I appreciate you, and, you know, just opening the airwaves for me. It's just always a pleasure chatting with you, and it's just been amazing to watch you and
oh my gosh,
go through all your
transformation
changes.
There.
So thank you. Thank you for having me. That's really
thank you. Brilliant. Awesome. Okay, Mutual Admiration Society now in session. I'm going to bang the gavel. Okay. John, thank you very much. Everybody else will be live tomorrow night. Again, tune in when we have Matthew Anderson with Theater People out of Minnesota talking about Season 2 fundraising. You'll love it. Tune in live, 10 p.m. East, 7 West, tomorrow night.
You've been listening to Rated G Radio.